Dennis brought up Anna in Luke 2, 36 and 37. She was in the temple, and she was talking to people there in the temple. But, you know, this is kind of like the thief on the cross argument last night. First, this was done during Old Testament times, in the temple, not in the church. We know Galatians 5, 4 says, if you try to be justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. If Anna was preaching in the church here, and she's not by any means, the church didn't even exist at this time, Dennis understands that Old Testament law is not binding, and this lady back here told us that, she was right. Animal sacrifices aren't applicable anymore, Levitical priesthood is not applicable, physical circumcision of male children, prohibition against eating pork and catfish. This was while the Old Testament law was still binding. But really, when you think about it, here's what Anna was doing. It would be parallel. She's in the temple. Church did not exist yet. We're only talking about the church assembly here in this debate. So it could have been the church assembly. Church didn't exist. People are coming in the foyer. You remember I said even in the Sunday school classes, women could speak if they're just teaching women or children? So the Sunday school classes, the church, none of that started. There's a woman in the foyer just greeting people. That's what Anna was doing. Nothing wrong with that. It does not have anything to do with our debate tonight. It's when the whole church comes together in one place at 11:15, the preaching service, can the woman deliver the sermon? Nothing wrong with her talking to people when they come in the foyer. Now, let's look at this chart. And this kind of summarizes every passage that he brings up, every passage. Every passage that Dennis brings up to try to prove his position tonight, either some of the verses he mentioned will mention women teaching, but not the New Testament church assembly, or they'll mention the New Testament church assembly, but they won't mention women teaching. What he needs is a passage that mentions both women teaching and New Testament church assembly. For example, Anna doesn't mention, it mentions her talking, but it doesn't mention the church assembly. So, really she wasn't teaching, she was just talking to people, but let's assume she was teaching. So, that means her verse in Luke 2 would come in the second column, that it does mention teaching, but it doesn't mention the church assembly. Like, for example, Numbers didn't mention a woman teaching or in the church assembly. So we'd come into the third column. There are no passages that mention a woman teaching and the New Testament church assembly. He's finding one or the other. There is one passage that mentions the woman teaching and the church assembly. 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. The only passage that mentions a woman teaching and the church assembly, the only one, Dennis, says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. Every other passage you bring up either doesn't mention a woman teaching, like Numbers 30, or it doesn't mention the church assembly, like Luke 2 and Anna, or it mentions neither. All right? You got to find a passage that mentions both.
Could I add one question? So then it was Anna, three people that were looking for redemption in the Luke lesson 3.
Let's look at it.
I mean, you saw the time back and he didn't talk.
I ain't talked yet, though. But give me time to look at this passage. We're going to look up Luke 2, 36 and 37. And Rodney, you're going to start my time when I start reading this first.
Wait, say we want the Kudu Rock.
All right, Rodney. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, Luke 2:36, the daughter of Pheniel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with 100 husbands 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow of about fourscore and 4 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So yes, she was teaching. Okay? My wife teaches me as we're driving somewhere in the car. Some woman may greet me or talk to me about... Let's keep my time running, if you don't mind. Okay? So it's okay for a woman to speak in the foyer. This is during Old Testament time, so as the lady back in the back said, it was not binding on us today, but she's teaching, but it's not the church assembly. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. The church was not in existence at this time. She was in the temple, but it's like she's in the foyer. It doesn't say anything about them assembling in the temple. She's not speaking to an assembly. It's like she's in the foyer talking to people and greeting them and talking to them about, about God, and that's great. I hope all the women, when people come in the church foyer, they're talking to them about God. That would be great. Now, the nice lady in the back brought up Galatians 3, 28 and 29. Let's look at that. All Christians are equal. Yes, all Christians are equal insofar as their spiritual status before God. Women are not second-class Christians. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. But that doesn't necessarily mean we all have the same role. For example, women bear children. 1 Timothy 5:14. Men do not. So far, that's been 100%, right, Mike? That's the way it's always worked. Does that make women better than men and therefore contradict there's neither male nor female? No, it's still true there's neither male nor female, but still women bear children. See, they're equal. They're all one in Christ, but they have different roles. Galatians 3:28 teaches there is neither bond nor free. But we see from passages like Ephesians 6, 5 and 9 that servants and masters had different roles. Now, Dennis brought up slavery. In essence, he's right. The people during the days of the Civil War, the Baptist preachers and other faiths were wrong to try to use those passages to try to prove American slavery was wrong. The only kind of slavery that would be authorized by the New Testament would be indentured slavery, where somebody became a slave on purpose, voluntarily, like to pay off a debt. We had that back then. It was never right under the New Testament law for a man to take a gun, go over to Africa, point it at a family, and steal a 20-year-old man and possibly a lady and under kidnapping them. Right? You get that 1 Timothy 1:10 and read it for us. And bring them over to America. That was always wrong. So if any preacher tried to use these passages in the New Testament to justify what we had in America, slavery, they were dead wrong. But that's different. All right, Rodney, read 1 Timothy 1, verse 10.
For fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine.
So his is New King James Version. He has kidnappers. Mine has men stealers. That's exactly what those slave traders were doing. They were going over there stealing men for the most part, some young ladies, bringing them over. That was always a sin. That's the Bible, New Testament teaches that was wrong, but that's not what I'm talking about tonight. God says it's a shame for women to speak in the church. He said that. That's 1 Corinthians 14. He said in 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, the woman's not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. He never said the kind of slavery we had in America was right. Never said that. All right. And then the nice lady in the back brought up in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, as also saith the law. But I think y'all should have noticed the word also. It didn't say, I'm teaching what the law taught, and therefore, since the law is not binding anymore, it doesn't apply. He's teaching New Testament laws, and he says, and he's talking about obedience in particular here, not the speaking part, but the obedience. Women are to be under obedience, as also saith the law. If I say it's against the law in Alabama to kill somebody, and it's also against the United States law, that means we're talking about two different laws here, not the same law. Y'all see that? So if he says, this is what's right, they're not supposed to speak in church, and then he says, they're supposed to be under obedience, that's actually what he says, as also saith the law, that means that he's talking about two different laws. Also means two different ones. What he is saying is not Old Testament law, it's something when he says they're to be under obedience, that it was also taught in the Old Testament law. That means he's teaching something in addition to the Old Testament law. Also means two different laws. So down goes that argument. Love y'all. Romans 7, verse 1. It's right. Romans 7, 2 through 4 teaches we're not under the law, the Old Testament law. That's exactly right. But this is New Testament law. If only thing that it said is wrong for women to speak in the church, and that would be hard to do that since the church didn't exist back then. If the only thing that said that was the Old Testament, you'd have a point. But this is New Testament law. Let your women keep silence in the churches. It is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience. It also saith the law, which proves we're talking about New Testament law, because the old law said the same thing, so it has to be talking about two different laws. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Let me ask you Baptists over here, you nice people. What suppose God had wanted to say that women were not to speak in the church, not to preach in the church assembly? Can you think of a way that he could have said it any more definite, stronger, or clearer than that? I cannot imagine a way that God could have said it if he didn't want women to preach in the church. I can't see how he could have said it any clearer. He's tried to put it as clear as he can, to the best of God's ability. That's not the problem. It's not ambiguous at all. It's just people don't love God enough to accept it. If you think of a way that God could have said it clear, write it down and give it to me and I'll entertain it. I don't think it's possible. I don't think there's any possible way. What? I don't think there's any possible way for the Bible to say any clearer that Dennis is wrong in this debate tonight than what this passage says. There's no way you can frame a sentence or two that's any clearer that exactly what Dennis is contending for is dead wrong. This is what God said, and He means it. He means we have to keep the women have to keep silence in the churches, not the Burger King. They can talk then. It's not permitted under them to speak. It's a shame for them to speak in church. He couldn't have said it any clearer. He means exactly what He says, and if you don't accept it, you don't love God like you ought to. Same thing in 1 Timothy 2. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not, or allow not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. That comes from God. It's inspired of God. This applies to more than just the church assembly. The church assembly is not mentioned in 1 Timothy 2. A woman, wherever she is, this would apply even in the Sunday school classes. A woman's not to teach nor usurp authority over the man. That's why it's wrong for a woman to teach a Sunday school class if there are men in it. It's wrong for the woman, according to this verse, to preach in the church assembly because there are men in it. Now, he brought up a little argument on the word I here. So let's look at that even though I'm going out of order here. He said, Paul said, I say unto you. Here's 1 Timothy 2, 11 and 12. I suffer not, that's verse 12, a woman to teach. I, in the sense he thinks that this is only Paul saying this, but not God. Love you, Dennis. This is another one of those arguments you made that you don't really believe. I'm not saying you're dishonest. You don't realize. I know he's not making an argument he believes, but I'm fixing to give you some passages where it says, I don't allow this, and he thinks that's from God. See, if you really believe that argument, that it's only I saying that, only Paul and not God, then in all these other passages, if you really believe that, he would say the same thing about all these other passages, but he's not going to do that. Let's watch. 1 Corinthians 10:20, Paul said, I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. So according to Dennis's logic, that's just coming from Paul, so it's okay to have fellowship with devils. Dennis doesn't believe that. That means he doesn't believe his own argument. That just because Paul uses the word I, that means it's only coming from man, not God. You see that, Dennis? Here's what Paul said in Ephesians 4:17. This I say, Paul. Oh, does that mean it's only Paul, not God? And I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. According to Dennis, it means it would be okay to walk in the vanity of your mind. Romans 12:1, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. According to Dennis's reasoning, we don't have to do that. That's only Paul, not God, saying that. Romans 16:17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. There you go, Roddy. We don't have to withdraw from people. It's only Paul saying that. Dennis doesn't believe that. He doesn't believe his own argument. He's not being dishonest. He just doesn't realize what he's doing. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, is that only Paul or is that God? I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority. We're told to pray for the president, whichever president it is. The governor, whichever governor it is, this command, just because he said it's I, that doesn't mean it's not God saying it, because Paul said, for example, in 1 Corinthians 14:37, he said, the things that I write unto you, are the commandments of the Lord. He said that by inspiration. Paul is one of the apostles, as we were talking about before, he agrees. John 16:13, Jesus said he would do this for the apostles. I will send the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all the truth. So when Paul said, I say that you should do that, that was the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. Dennis, you knew that though, didn't you? You knew that, didn't you? Yeah, you knew that. He knew when Paul was speaking, he was being led by the Holy Spirit. He already knew that. He just made that argument because he thought it helped his position. He didn't know he was going to get in all this trouble, did he? But he got into a lot of trouble, didn't he? Here's 1 Timothy 2, verse 7. This verse demonstrated it's more than just Paul's personal view in verses 11 and 12. He says, this is in 1 Timothy 2. Remember, we're talking about verses 11 and 12. Same chapter. He says, wherefore I am ordained an apostle. I think Mike quoted this before, while we were talking before the service. Wherefore I am ordained or impossible. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. I teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Isn't Paul claiming he's getting this from God? That's five verses before he said a woman's not to teach nor usurp authority. I say to you, of course, God's inspiring Paul to say that. Matthew 18:18, what teaches what Paul bound on earth would be bound in heaven. And then he went back to Romans 16:1. He says, the Greek word means servant. Dennis said that, so see, she was a leader. No, Dennis. Servant's the opposite of leader. Servant is one who serves the leader. So if you admit she's a servant, you're saying exactly the opposite of what you're trying to teach. She wasn't the leader, she was the servant. We need leaders and servants. We need both. Mike's a leader, he's an elder. And under other situations, he's also a servant. So you're right about Ephesians 5:21. Everybody's got to serve one another. That's right. But he leads in the church. He's the overseer, and the church is to serve him in his role. Okay? He's not the servant in this case, the follower. He's the leader. The Bible teaches that. All right. Phoebe is to be, he said, to be assisted, a sister in whatever you do, as if that meant she was in authority over the ones that were assisting her. You're in authority over your wife. Right? Do you ever assist her in things that she's doing? You do, don't you? That doesn't mean that she's leading over you, though, does it? No, you just said that. You said the husband's the head over the wife. He's got to be the authority over her. But now you're admitting that the fact that you're the head or the leader doesn't, you're admitting that doesn't mean that you can't assist her. So, these people can assist Phoebe without her being the leader over them. I assist my wife in all kinds of things in other ladies. And guess what? Not a single time does it mean they're a pastor or preacher. I assist them in lots of things. Never means they're a pastor or preacher. All Christians have work to do. We should always be willing to assist other Christians, man, woman, or youth, in anything kind of spiritual work they're doing. Rodney helps me with a lot of work. I help him in some work. Doesn't mean I'm over Rodney or he's over me. We're just equal friends and we assist each other all the time. And then I think Rodney told me you brought up the word sufferer. What does the word sufferer mean? Paul states that Phoebe was a sufferer in Romans 16:2, I believe, 1 and 2. Here's what the Greek word means. Rodney, tell me how much time. I'm going to read just what's in red. Caring for the affairs of others and aiding them with their resources.
2.5.
Sound like she's the boss? No. She's a succorer, caring for the affairs of others and aiding them with their resources. Strong's, an assistant. Wyckham Green, a helper. Random House, defining the words English word succor, a person or thing that gives help or relief. The fact that she's a succorer means she's helping or aiding others. It doesn't have anything to do with her being a pastor or preacher. And we've already mentioned about Junia. We don't even know for sure she was a woman. Now, let's suppose, just for the sake of argument, she was. It says she was of note among the apostles. How in the world can you come up with a phrase that says she's of note among the apostles to mean she's an apostle? How do you do that? Bo Jackson was of note among the Bama coaches. Didn't mean he was a Bama coach, though. Paul was among the Gentiles. Didn't mean he was a Gentile, though. Cornelius was of good report among the Jews. Doesn't mean he was a Jew. It just means the Jews knew about him in a favorable way. It just knew that, mean the Alabama coaches knew about Bo Jackson. He was a note, and they were trying to figure out a way to stop him. That's all that meant. And then Genesis 1:25, you said he created male and female equally. But you'll remember, and he brought it up. I don't have enough hands here. Genesis 3:16. Even then, when he created male and female equal, which I believe that he did, it says, at the end of 3:16, he said to Eve, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. He shall rule. Even during that time when they're created equal, the husband was to rule over the man. The same is true in the New Testament times. Ephesians 5:22-23. He read 21, but he stopped before he read 22. It is true in Ephesians 5:21 that we're all supposed to submit to one another. Even Mike, who's an elder, the members there submit to him, but he submits to others when they need help. Maybe the guy who's in charge of cutting the grass asks Mike to help cut the grass, and he submits to it. We're supposed to all do that. But still, 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, he's the Savior of the body. I don't know why I need to be telling Dennis that. He He exclaimed it while he got the husband's the head of the wife. What is said in Genesis 3:16 is still true. The husband is the head of the wife. The husband rules over the wife. Thank you for your time and so much for your attention.